Mahalo.
Mahalo from the Isles of Hawaii.
Yes, except that not there.
Neither am I.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you already, you tweeted with the GIF from for air quotes next week's show.
Well, nobody's going to show up for nonsense and then like half an hour later we tweet a GIF of the thing. So we should probably start by saying what exactly is happening with the mechanics.
What is happening,
yeah.
Joseph?
Well, you see, the world is a dark and scary place, but in
the
addition...
The world is a construct.
But in addition to the world being what it is, I have a vacation that was booked last year to go to Europe, and we never banked the episodes for it, so we're doing it this week and next week. That means that there will not be any timely discussion of current affairs on the podcasts that you will be listening to over the next 4 weeks, basically. Three, I guess. Depends on how you count this one. So we have, we'll be recording this current episode where we are discussing things and then rolling right on into the Matrix. And then we will have episodes that we will record next week for Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions. If you are someone who subscribes to the Incomparable Bootleg feed, you will see those before they go live. If you don't want to chew through all of your defocused content before the end of the month, then ration yourself, pace yourself, because that's it. Until like middle of September, because I will be gallivanting around Europe, and Dan will be holding the fort down.
Does that mean I have to do stuff?
I mean, can you hold something? Can you hold a fort? Can you hold the fort down, Dan?
I mean, when I used to do the blanket fort thing, I used to prop it up with sticks so I didn't have to hold it.
Oh.
Can I prop our podcast up with sticks while you're gone?
Can you prop up this podcast, propcast, when that is something that you could maybe kind of do while I'm gone? Would that be okay?
I don't know what that entails, but I will agree to it before asking for explanation of what it actually entails.
Okay, well, basically what you need to do is assemble 3 sticks and shape them like an A, and then put a circle around it. And
you said no timely discussion.
It won't be timely by the time this is released. Nobody's going to care.
Yeah, they'll change it back, probably.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So anyway, we are here to discuss stuff, the fun stuff, all the fun things. Because last week we had an episode where we got all the lowdowns on Dan's Ohio trip and his golfing experience and some horrifying thing called Main Event with like bowling ball head things and things.
That was only last week. It feels like it was so long ago.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. But yeah, that was last week. And Since then, we've gone on to do nothing, but you got a shout out on the latest Rectifs, because one time
I ruined movies for people.
Yeah, you ruined La La Land, which Merlin Mann quite enjoyed, and then you pooped all over it.
I didn't poop all over it, but here's the thing: I feel like I should start charging for this service. I have the innate ability, apparently, to notice small details in movies that are bad and or wrong that you can't unsee once you've seen them. And apparently I did that to Merlin with regards to things being subtly out of focus in La La Land. So,
well, we do charge a small fee. It is starts at $5, and you can go to incomparable.com and figure that one out.
So, I mean, I also feel bad, too, because he was on our drive episode where I pointed out all of the camera equipment and other junk that was in the frame that you could see that you probably can't unsee once you see it the first time.
I don't think it matters. I don't think he lies awake late at night going, oh, that frame.
Well, he's probably going to rewatch Drive at some point, and then he'll be like, oh, there's that crap he pointed out. And I feel bad also because it was like the Rectifs came out like 3 hours after I tweeted that GIF from Grand Budapest Hotel that I always complain about, where you can see the roto on what's his name's nose isn't right.
I still haven't watched that movie yet.
It's a good movie. You should watch it. It was on TV.
Wes Anderson and I don't get along.
What about you don't like Ralph Fiennes or like Adrian Brody?
Ralph Fiennes?
Whatever. I think he pronounces it Ralph Fiennes.
Okay. Rafe.
Rafe. Okay.
Whatever. I mean, I don't really love Adrian Brody. So I don't really think that's doing anyone any favors.
Willem Dafoe is in it, being creepy Willem Dafoe.
Oh, well, that's always good. I'm down for some Willem Dafoe. I can't think of anything bad that Willem Dafoe's ever done. I mean, he's been in bad movies, but he himself has never been bad.
Yeah, there's also some, there's some Jude Law. There's some, that one guy who looks like Seth Worley, who I can't remember his name. The tall guy, what's his name? I'm having a brain thing.
I can't tell you because I didn't see the movie.
He's from Jurassic Park.
Now I'm having a brain fart. Because I want to say Dr. Ian Malcolm, but that's not the actor's name.
that's his character name.
Why am I not remembering one of the most famous actors of our generation who I could remember under any other circumstance? This is ridiculous. Why can I not remember who this is?
Jeff Goldblum.
Yes. Oh my God.
Nobody's going to listen to our Matrix episodes because they're going to rage quit our podcast after what we just did there.
Oh man, we are. I think we're fired.
It's late. It's a Monday. We've had other things occur today that distracted us.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, that's very sad. That's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. But
he's in that movie too. He has a mustache.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes he shows up on Portlandia, but I don't really generally watch most of it.
Ed Norton's in it too, and Harvey Keitel briefly.
Oh. Okay.
It's a star-studded cast is what I'm saying, and you should watch it. It's a very good... it might be my favorite Wes Anderson movie.
Well, put it on our calendar, and I might do that.
I'll just start putting things on the... Yeah, I can do that, because we have a shared calendar. I'm just going to start putting things on your calendar when you're in Europe, and they'll just pop up and annoy you.
Yeah, life hack. I have so many things in my life that I never gravitate towards Wes Anderson. He just doesn't do it for me. His movies are so stilted and weird, and
you just don't like whimsy.
But it feels so like forced. It's like, look at this clever thing I did. And it's like,
I think it's less forced than Grand Budapest. I think his style sort of comes together. Although there's a lot of arbitrary, not arbitrary. There's a reason behind it, but it's ostensibly arbitrary, changing of the aspect ratio throughout the movie, which would probably make you a little crazy.
Not a huge fan of that. TBH. But, that's not wonderful.
How do we get 10 minutes into this without addressing our therm pros? You got your therm pro nearby?
Oh, I do have my therm pro nearby.
How's your temp and your humidity?
It is 78 degrees in here and 39% humidity.
I have... this is behind me, so I'm kind of looking over my shoulder. 79.2 degrees Fahrenheit, 44% humidity.
Well, we're almost the same.
It feels a lot warmer and more unpleasant than those numbers would lead me to believe.
It does. Because you see, while I did do the amazing life hack of having the Harmony Hub that can turn on my AC before I get home.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
I didn't turn it on early enough today before I left the office. So it didn't cool down a whole bunch, but it's good. It's better than nothing.
It's going to take a little bit of practice before you get your workflow down.
Yeah. You just have to sort of judge, you know, based on how hot it is, like how long it will take for the AC unit to cool down.
You should see if you can do some IFTTTs where it'll grab the weather forecast of the day and do some basic math for you and then turn it on at a given time.
No, but...
Or at least give you a push notification saying like, hey, if you want your apartment to be cool by the time you get home, and you are indeed going there today, you should turn it on now.
Oh, that's a better idea. Because one of the things that our dear friend Micah, who had been on the show before, had suggested when I did the episode of Unhelpful Suggestions with him was that I should have it all geofenced and stuff. But I'm not always coming here. And if I actually had it geofenced for when I left the office, then it definitely would not cool down in 30 to 45 minutes, depending on traffic. So that was a no-go on that. But maybe if it just provides me with a notification that's like, hey, reminder, turn that thing on, then maybe I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea.
It's like a drive time calculation that the calendars are doing, saying based on traffic and where you are and where you're going, it'll proactively tell you when you need to leave. But it's just like that, except proactively telling you when you need to turn your air on.
Oh, hopefully it works better than that. I don't know what your experience with those calendar calculations are, but Apple is very optimistic about how long it takes to get anywhere in Los Angeles whenever it tries to do those travel time estimates.
Mm.
And so it'll be like, you don't need to leave for another 30 minutes. And then I go to leave, and then it's like, you should have left 30 minutes ago. And it's like, what the bleep is wrong with you? Because apparently it doesn't constantly update with latest traffic things or something. And so it seems to think that the traffic of, I don't know, an hour ago is the traffic that will apply at that time. It is not good at projecting this kind of stuff. I wish it would honestly just pad the time. And there is an option where you can pad it by 30 minutes or, you know, whatever, but it's not accurate either, because then you still have to guess whether or not you need a 30-minute pad on the time or not. But
you should always pad your things. I haven't run into much of that prediction stuff. It's not actually even related to calendar items, I don't think, but sometimes just when I'm out, which is rare, I think my phone knows that I'm a homebody / work at home, so I'll just be out somewhere and it'll pop up and be like, it would take you 42 minutes to go home right now. I'm like, well, thank you, I'm not going home, but I appreciate the notification. But the one I ran into that I don't think I've seen before, I ran into in Cincinnati when we were there, is it learns, I guess, where you're staying and tells you how long it will take to get there or something. So like, of course, it didn't learn this until the very last day when I wasn't actually going back to the hotel. But like, we would be, we were in downtown Cincinnati on the last day of our trip, and it just kept popping up. It's like 50 minutes to Hamilton right now. I'm like, well, okay, that would be helpful if I had moved there or something. So thank you for telling me how long it would take to get back to our hotel, but I'm not actually going back to the hotel. I mean, it took you 4 days to learn that that's where my hotel was, but now I'm done. I'm leaving now. So stop telling me to go back to Hamilton, because I don't want to go back to Hamilton.
Yeah. Well, you and many, many other people, according to your stories that you were telling me. But so the rub
was
that.
I was looking through some photos. I don't remember where it was, but it was some San Diego photos popped up or whatever. And there's a picture of the breakfast burrito I ate in Coronado, and I stared lovingly at it for a while. I was like, the people of Hamilton, Ohio, need this breakfast burrito very badly, because this is a really good breakfast burrito, and the thing that they have there is just really sad.
Yeah, no, but in terms of your complaint about the thing, it just does like rudimentary pattern matching, and the annoying thing is it doesn't remember places so much. So if you like go to the same place every day for lunch at work or something like that, and is on a street, it'll just say, it'll take you 5 minutes to drive to Van Nuys Boulevard. And it's like, why would that help me at all? Because it's a boulevard. It's like, what is the point of that? You have to actually tap on it to see what it thinks that it's matching to, because it doesn't know the location that you were actually going to. And so keeps it as near Van Nuys. It's really annoying.
I have a stupid related question for you. Do you have Google Maps installed, I assume, as well, right? Because that one is actually accurate in Los Angeles?
Yes. I have both. And honestly, Apple Maps has improved in iOS 10, but it's not amazing. So sometimes I still use Google Maps, but I will often just use iOS 10, because then I can just say, hey, I want to go home now. Just do it, and it'll do it.
Okay, so my Google Maps has started doing this thing where I don't really use it much unless I'm out of town or something and I'm getting sketchy looking results from Apple Maps, but I've been getting push notifications from Google Maps recently that say offline areas will expire in 10 days, and then 5 days later, offline areas will expire in 5 days, and then 5 days later, offline areas are now expired. And this has happened like 4 times, and I don't know what any of that means or why they keep sending me notifications about it.
I don't know. Maybe you accidentally stored something to the offline data thing.
But then, like, they expired, and why are they still expiring?
I don't know.
Why are my offline areas expiring?
I don't know.
I don't even know what offline areas means. Does that mean, like, I downloaded a map, or, like, I saved a Oh, good. I just opened it and it says Google Maps would like to access my location and I'm not using the app.
I said cancel because the options are yes or cancel.
Yeah, allow and cancel. Offline areas. Cancel. What's in here? Local expires 29 days, 80.3 megabytes. I don't know what that means. Like,
I think it is storing a cache.
It is storing a cache of the south central-ish Phoenix area, apparently.
Yes.
Which is going to expire in 29 days. So it just does that for 30 days.
Yeah,
based
I don't
on
know
where
why
I am. It's like trying to be the proactive thing, and then it just like doesn't keep itself for very long or something.
Well, no, I just don't know why it expires, though.
It's probably some sort of privacy policy nonsense.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know why it notifies you. Like, if it's just a cache, then it would just dump it, and then
I thought it was them EOLing a feature or something, like, oh, I can't do offline maps or whatever anymore, or whatever that meant, but
I don't know. Sorry. Anyway, this is riveting conversation, because
Welcome to the Confused Technology Hour.
Yeah.
How's your betas?
I'm running none of them except, ironically, I installed it on the Apple TV this morning because there's the option to do that wirelessly. And when I was in there checking to see if there was an update because it was behaving weird, I just turned it on anyways because I figured, what the heck? There's no rumors of it breaking anything, and it doesn't seem to do anything positive, so can't be that bad or that good either.
My Fire Stick wouldn't do anything earlier today. I tried to watch a movie on the Fire Stick, and it just like it got the search term when I yelled at it, but then it just like sat there on a blank screen, and I tried it twice, and then I gave up and went to the Apple TV and actually typed it in with the remote app like an animal.
I wonder if you're having an internet problem or something.
But, I'm still backblazing. I still have 5 terabytes left in my backblazing, and now it's on the slow drives, so I think it's going to take a little bit longer. The Drobos are done. I've just got 3G drives left to backblaze.
There is a Fire TV remote app you can download.
I have that too. It's got the worst icon, I think, of any app I've ever seen.
It ain't pretty, and the interface is weird. I don't like the way they did the drag thing with the finger on the touch area, but whatever.
With the drag and the finger on the touch thing.
Let's not reference things. But the reason why, like I was saying with the bugginess, is that I bought those Beats X, the earbud ones,
they're Bluetoothy, right?
Yeah. And they're also blue. Specifically because they were blue.
Did you buy one for each color of shoes you wear or something?
No, because they don't match anything. Literally nothing else I own is this color of blue. I thought it was going to be slightly more of a midnight blue to match the Apple midnight blue that they've been pushing lately or something like that. But it's like primary blue. It's fine. It's better than black or gray or white. So it's okay.
How are working for you though?
I'm pretty good, honestly. I don't find the thing on the back of the neck distracting, but the bugginess problem is that it has the same W1 chip that's supposed to be inside the AirPods, and that's supposed to let you do all that fancy iCloud wireless syncing of headphones and things.
You flip open the non-existent case for them, and then you get a thing that says pair your Beats.
No, that's just a button. You push the button and you pair it with your phone, and it has a little card that comes up, and it's like, oh, you wanna have these Beats X things, and you say yes, and then it's supposed to propagate that everywhere. But it didn't put it on my iPad, and it didn't put it on my Apple TV, but it was available on my MacBook Pro from 2012. So I have no idea what
when
mechanics
you pair it to your
are.
Phone, it's supposed to share that connection info with all your other devices?
Yep.
I was not aware of that. Do the AirPods do that?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't think AirPods paired properly with, like, computers and stuff.
Where have you been getting your information, Dan?
Nowhere, because I don't have any AirPods. Speaking of cutting-edge technology, I just found the picture-in-picture feature on video on my Sierra operating system here, and I was like, oh, look at that. That's a neat little feature. That's brand new. Oh, no, everyone else has had that for a year.
Oh, Dan.
Let me tell you about this OS X. Sorry, Mac OS. Am I on the one called Mac OS?
this a stand-up bit? What is
no,
this?
No, it's just I've been unable to upgrade for so long. Oh yeah, mine's called macOS now. 10.12.6.
Okay.
10.12.6.
So what is the deal with these Rip Van Winkles?
How am I gonna get me some of them AirPods connected to my computer, Joe?
You connect them, and then through the magic of iCloud, the branding nomenclature that covers several cloud services, it will put the profile available everywhere for your devices. But that is supposed to work with the Apple TV, but it doesn't really, in the case of the Beats X headphones that I have. But it's one of the things where they were also rolling out fixes so that it would work more better with iOS 11. So it's part of the reason why I installed the public beta. But then it still couldn't see them. So that was cool. And even if I tried to pair it as if it was a Bluetooth device, it didn't want to do that either. So I don't know what its deal is specifically. I will assume that it is some sort of beta fluke, and I will let it just be awful at being itself. Mm.
I feel like it's one of those things like the keyboard snippet shortcuts built into the system that are supposed to sync across all your devices, but like break on every other OS update.
Yep. Or they go away and come back, or you start typing it and then you wait at the end of it and you're like, is it working or is it broken? Is it working? Is it broken? And you wait and you wait and you wait, and then nothing happens, and then you start deleting it, and then it goes, oh, hey, I recognize the thing you're typing, and you're just like, ah. Strangle you.
See, that's why you should get Text Expander.
Mm-hmm.
This episode brought... No, it's not.
No. There will be no smiling on this podcast. But, so...
I'm still on the old version on my phone because I didn't do the subscription thing, and it's trying to sync through Dropbox, but I think that's just, like, officially broken, even though the app still tells me it's syncing through Dropbox. Yeah, I still like to use it on my phone. It's just it's not updating.
Mm-hmm.
You don't use any sort of text expansion type things on your phone, do you?
Nope, just the aforementioned keyboard thing through Apple, which sort of kind of doesn't work. But I don't have a lot of repetitive text entry things that I do. So I just don't have the utility in my life for it.
We should start making you do show notes. See how quickly you start buying text expansion software.
For my blog posts, I actually have a Python script in Alfred that puts all the metadata header stuff together. So I'd probably just do that rather than buying text expander.
Mm.
And it dumps it all into Byword.
Ew, you write in Byword?
Yeah.
I tried... There was the big thing going around. Everyone was like, oh, Ulysses, they're going to subscription. Did you ever try Ulysses at any point?
I think several years ago I tried to use Ulysses. I don't even remember what platform it was on. I think it was iOS. Like, I don't remember what happened specifically. I just like, this is incredibly strange. And I just backed away very slowly from it. Also, it's pricey. So for something that I'm not seeing value in, it was not worth spending money on, if that makes sense. But I stick to Byword on the Mac and Byword sometimes, but mostly editorial on iOS. And because it's plain text, you can move back and forth between the two and stuff. Byword on iOS is fine, but you really need some more finicky tools in order to efficiently word process on it, which is why I like editorial, because I wrote like one of those little action extension things so I can highlight a word and then hit a thing, and then it turns it into a markdown link with whatever I have on my clipboard. So that I find more efficient if I need to do that sort of stuff. And when it comes to just taking notes, I just dump it all in Drafts. And it just stays in Drafts. I don't
what kind of notes are you taking? Like at work or something?
Yeah, just like somebody has a Wi-Fi password I need to write down, grocery list, empanada order, like whatever. I just jot it down in Drafts. It launches fast. You can write it fast, you can make a new note fast, and then you can scroll back through the previous entries pretty quickly, and they all just start with whatever the first line of whatever it was you were doing was. So it's efficient. Also, I like Greg. Follow him on the Twitters, so he's nice.
No, I use Drafts all day, every day, too. I just use it for something different, but
what's the different thing? What makes you so special?
Because I have a really stupid to-do list workflow.
Oh dear. Does this involve writing things in Drafts and then it gets piped off to OmniFocus and then gets entered in a context?
No, it's not quite that stupid, but it's on par with that level of stupid. So, okay. Drafts is my to-do input method when I am anywhere. Editorial is where I review stuff on the phone, which is not the greatest because editorial's like swipe to delete function doesn't really work very well. But no, they're all plain text files that go into a specific Dropbox folder. And then on my Mac, I have NVAlt pointing at that Dropbox folder. So NVAlt is my to-do app because it has a little side rail with all the names of the notes and then the body of the note on the right where I can add additional detail. So when I fire up Drafts, I type in like the first line is the title of the note and then the remainder of the note is the body of it. And then I hit new to-do and it makes a new text file with the name of the first line and the body in the remaining lines. And then that goes to my Mac and other places. And then I just do it with Dropbox that way.
Okay.
That's mostly what I use it for.
It's fine, I guess. But I mean, I don't have a to-do workflow because I don't worship at the altar of to-do software.
I don't either. That's why I just use plain text files and various different apps. But NVAlt is really great because it's fast and stuff.
If it's something that's really important that I need to get a handle on, I just let it sit in my inbox. And then I will mark it unread if it's something that I need to remember to do. Once I've done it, then I just read it and then it just goes back to the red state and just sits in there with all the other entries.
Are you talking about your mail app?
Yeah, yeah. You said we were talking about to-do workflows.
You make me sad.
I know, because I just honestly don't have that much stuff like that would go into a sort of a constructive task thing. Because I've tried that before where I've downloaded some of these highly acclaimed apps, and then it's just like, well, I don't really have anything to put in here. And it's like, oh, you could put in milk. And it's like, I just will go get the milk. I'm not really going to go get milk because I don't generally drink milk because of lactose things. What?
So you're saying that you never have any like things that you want to do or projects that come into your head in any other way other than an email that somebody else has sent to you?
Do you
send yourself an email when you have something you want to do?
Well, if it's really important, then I'm just going to worry about it all day. If I'm not up at 3 a.m. going, oh God, I really should have washed those dishes in the sink, then what is life for, really?
See, have you heard of this thing? You heard about this inbox zero thing? Are you familiar with what the concept is here?
Yeah, that's when you delete all your emails and then you get a little happy face.
It's actually not about emails. It's about how many stupid things you're up at night worrying about that you can't do anything about.
Uh-huh.
So you should write them down somewhere so you don't have to worry about them and think about them while you're trying to sleep.
Well, then how will they get done? If I write them down, I'm going to forget.
Then you look at the list occasionally and go like, oh, I can do this today. And then you do it and then you delete it out of your thing.
But Dan, I would never look at it.
See,
Do you know what happens to articles I want to read? I go, oh, this looks interesting. And then I put like, it used to put it in Instapaper, but I don't do that anymore. I put it on the reading list. And then it's just like a junk drawer, a wasteland of things that I have ambitions of reading someday. But I don't really feel like it. So I never get around to it. So I got stuff
on my to-do list. The first thing is I got to DM this guy. I need to find a file. I need to transfer some funds for a business thing. I need to polish my shoes. Like, these are things that aren't going to come in via email and I'm not going to remember. So like,
what kind of shoes you got?
The shoes that I wore to the wedding that need to be cleaned and polished.
What kind of shoes are they?
They're leather shoes.
Oxfords.
They are
penny loafers. What are we talking about?
I think I don't know what would they technically be classified as, like cap toe brogues.
Oxford's not brogues.
Yeah, I know. I have some of those too, but those aren't the ones that I wore that I need to polish.
Okay, so polish your brogues.
So that goes into my that's the plain text file in my folder.
Mm-hmm. Your brogues.
Worst at this. Anyway, so getting back to it, I bought Ulysses like years ago, and I tried it, and I didn't like it because I think at the time it was slow. Because I tried my main writing app on the Mac there is Sublime Text, and what I do in Sublime Text is I dump the entire Dropbox folder into the open air quotes project, which means I just hit a shortcut key and then I can go to any text file that is in Dropbox very quickly. And I tried to do that on Ulysses, and it was just like choking on the thousands of files that was in there. So I reopened Ulysses and I looked at it and I thought, oh, this is very nice. And I like the way they, you know, catalog things. But they try to do that thing where text files aren't really text files. They're like in their little proprietary database thing, which you can also use files that are on the disk. So I tried to do that. And then it was just really slow and stupid again. And it's like, well, I've just, for the way my broken brain works, I've just tried to turn Ulysses back into Sublime Text. So I should just stay with Sublime Text. So I closed it and I'm not going to open it anymore.
I have some complaints about Sublime Text. I bought Sublime
Go
Text.
Ahead, caller.
I thank you. First time Sublimer. So I bought Sublime Text 2 back when that was new and a product. What it mainly seems to be useful for these days is advertising Sublime Text 3.
Are there pop-ups in it that say Sublime Text 3?
Yes. It's like,
Mine doesn't have pop-ups. What did you do?
I don't know. But it's just like, hey, you should totally get this. It's like, whatever. I'm not a power user, let's say.
It's a text editor. The most I do with it is like run a regex to find show titles when we do podcasts.
Yeah, but it's like, that is something I would write in if I need to do something that is for code, not for like writing.
But like, why do you have to have more than one place to do that? Because you can make the fonts all pretty and stuff too in there.
But I want different fonts for different things. I want my code to be all like solarized and stuff.
You do or don't?
Do.
Well, okay. So there's all kinds of different highlighty stuff.
Yeah, and there is, and I have it on, but I don't want that on when I'm writing like words. It's distracting.
Depending on the file type, it'll load different preferences based on the file type.
Yeah, but it's all about task management, Dan, and I just manage my tasks by putting them in different apps.
So you send yourself an email saying you attach your fountain file to an email to yourself that you leave as unread until it's ready to open.
Dan, I do not open fountain in any of the programs we discussed. I open those in Highland, and I do my fountain work in Highland.
You know, Highland, which version of Highland is that? Is that on the beta? I think it's on the beta. The next version of Highland that I don't think is officially out yet, they're making their own file format.
Oh.
Dot Highland.
Why?
Because you can add extra stuff. It does a bunch of stuff like, I don't know, like attachments or other metadata stuff for interesting things that it can store. It'll still use Fountain files, but like it'll natively make dot Highland files. I like Highland to a point, but I don't prefer it. If I want a complicated app, Sublime Text is complicated enough. If I want a simple app, Slugline is where that happens.
Slugline is more complicated than I would like because...
Slugline has no buttons in it. What could possibly be more complicated or less complicated than Slugline?
I find the indenting that it does while I'm typing to be very distracting, so I prefer writing in Highland where it doesn't indent because then my cursor's not jumping around on the screen.
You are such a strange man.
I'm not. I have a particular way of doing things. I want things a certain way. And as someone else who wants things a certain way, who was just explaining to me how he wants his NV Alt set up, I feel like flexibility, Joseph, and
plain text files, so I can get them from anywhere.
Yes, exactly. Same deal. Just different apps.
Ugh. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have the same fountain file open in Sublime Text and Slugline at the same time on different places because I'm stupid.
That's not good because then you're editing the same file and two things.
It's okay, actually, because Sublime Text will background update stuff like that. So if you are writing in Slugline and you tab over to Sublime Text, it'll automatically make all the changes for you.
Okay. Not all apps do that, but...
No, going the other direction, it doesn't do that. So you have to save it and then close, reopen in Slugline because it's a Mac app instead of a text editor.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I mean, I very rarely write anything in Fountain these days, but the important one I would say would probably be Byword. And you hate that one.
Byword is basically Slugline for Markdown. There's like no buttons.
Yeah,
same
but
thing.
It doesn't do the crazy indenting stuff. It just sits there.
But when you're writing a screenplay, you want the indenting to happen. That's the point.
I want to see the indenting when I toggle over to the preview mode, but I don't need it when I'm writing because then it tries to just like move things around based on capitalization. It's just annoying. Okay. I mean, just be thankful I'm not a writer.
You are a writer. You have a blog. You're a technologist.
Well, not a writer who has to earn any kind of income off of that writing, shall we say.
That was the other thing that was weird about Ulysses. They have their own like Markdown XL thing that they use. And they're like, you can type these special codes to put pictures and footnotes and stuff in here. And it's and it's like multi-Markdown with like weird gooey stuff on top of it. It's like, this could be really powerful if you went like 100% bought into the way that Ulysses does stuff and you never used another app ever. But I can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I also have multi-Markdown Composer. And that is weird because there's basically two panes, and one pane is the markdown, and then the other pane is the preview of what it's going to look like, maybe, kind of, sort of, based on the input parameters. So it's not really an accurate preview, number one, unless you have very strict programming stuff for that, for how it's going to wind up being processed by the CSS on whatever web page it's going to sit on. So it's not really reliable in that case. And then you're just looking at stuff where there's different pointers in different places. And I find it weird, but it's useful for diagnostics if you're trying to navigate why something broke. But, yeah,
I also bought that forever ago and I don't think I've ever actually written anything in it because I do the same workflow with Sublime Text and, Marked.
I don't like Marked. Sorry, Brett.
You can also load your own CSS. Now, that's what I used to do back when I had a horrible plain text static blog that was generated through like Markdown CSS files in Dropbox or whatever. I would actually preview it through Marked that looked properly like on the website and then post it.
Yeah, well, I have that too, but and that's part of the reason why I got Marked, but and Marked Multi Markdown Composer. But I don't like juggling the windows, so. I don't.
Oh, so you just need more real estate is what you need.
I do have a 15-inch MacBook Pro non-retina display, so yes, yeah. I need more real estate.
You know you can plug monitors into your computers?
Oh, and that's another complaint about Sublime Text. It's fuzzy. Fuzzy, so fuzzy.
You know, you can turn on or off anti-aliasing on the text, I think.
It just everything just looks gross in it.
I mean, I write in like size 17 Menlo or whatever, so I don't really care. It's just
whoa.
Well, on a Retina display of this resolution, that's not like gigantic or anything.
I suppose, yeah.
I used to be smaller, but then I couldn't really see it very well.
An old man, Dan.
Yeah. The one thing I recently used on it, which was really weird, it's like totally a programming feature, is you can open the same file in two columns side by side and like have one at a different scroll level than the other. So I was like looking at the beginning of the script it was a script I was writing in the left pane and then writing on the bottom part of the script in the right pane, which is weird.
That must have been very exciting for you. But, I think that concludes our, workflow painfulness.
We shouldn't talk about things because people are going to take some of this as tacit like recommendations of things.
Oh no.
Don't do any of the things that we do. We've had many years to develop our very terrible broken personal methodologies, and they're not going to work for anyone else.
Also, I know this isn't going to stop anyone, but I'm going to say it anyways. I don't want any recommendations on how I can improve my life. Stop. don't tell me about how I could make any of this better.
Unless your recommendation is about a delicious new alcoholic beverage that we haven't tried before, we don't need recommendations about how to improve our lives.
Yes, or an empanada that is available locally.
Do you have drive-through empanada places?
No.
Hmm. Seems like an LA opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's Nona's Empanadas, which is basically there's a street side parking thing, and then it's like right there across the sidewalk. So I feel like that's close enough. But I can just walk down or over to Empanada's place over on the Sawtell and the Venice Boulevards. That is some good stuff. Cash only, though.
In this day and age, people can still do cash only places? Like, get a Square reader. It's free. Just do a thing.
Not only is it cash only, but it is the kind of register where you have to punch stuff in, and then there's the, you know, mechanical sound of things being added up.
Like the cha-ching sound and the drawer
slides
out?
Yeah.
Does it even have a digital display, or does it have, like, those little flags that pop up?
Oh, no, it has the digital display.
Okay, so it's only, like, a 70s style.
Yeah, well, like, late 80s, maybe, early 90s.
Hmm.
But anywho, no, please don't write in and give us any advice. It's useless.
I mean, it's not useless for me, because I'll listen to your ideas, and I will rebut them with my better ideas, but Joe doesn't like efficient workflows.
No, I hate any form of efficiency. Remember when we had the episode with Micah, and then you were both like telling me how I could make my life better? That didn't go well. But we bought
a Harmony Hub because we yelled at you enough.
Neither of you yelled at me to get the specific thing. It was the yelling that made me do the research to make me decide that I wanted this one.
See, now that we have to-do shamed you, you're going to go and research all of these fun to-do apps, and then you're gonna stop waking up at 3 in the morning thinking about the dishes.
Nope.
You like to think about the dishes at 3 a.m.?
How can I put this? I will think about them anyways no matter what.
You gotta learn to let go and let God, or
no,
let go and let to do, or whatever the phrase mm-hmm. may be.
Yes, like live and let die. That's it.
It's a neurosis, but it's your neurosis, so you're fine.
More complicated than that, but basically, I will not be satisfied with any application that anyone is going to put in front of me, so don't do it.
So what you're saying is you're going to write your own app?
No, I'm definitely not saying that.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
It has gone up 2.5 degrees in here since we have been talking.
Oh, yeah, we're sitting at a real pretty 80 degrees in here.
81.5.
40% humidity. More humid.
44. Your humidity went up?
Yeah, humidity went up.
Are you perspiring from all of this inquiry?
I mean, I don't know where else it's coming from, unless humidity is like sneaking in through windowsills or something.
Humidity is coming from your body.
Humidity is coming from inside the house.
It's coming from inside the torso all along.
Ta-da!
This has probably been the weirdest, worst episode we've ever done. Well, I can't say worst because, I don't know, one of those ones where we make fun of, like, Interstellar or Guardians of the Galaxy was probably worse, but...
Snowpiercer.
God, that movie. Woof. Mm.
That really just sticks in your craw. Mm-hmm.
YouTube tried to suggest to me that I should watch a video about the visual breakdown of Snowpiercer the other day. I was like, oh, YouTube, clearly you don't know who I am.
Oh, and they say algorithms know us so well. But we'll save that for our computer discussion about computery stuff. Buenos noches, everyone, and sayonara so long. Thanks for fish sticks, and we'll catch you next week.
Yeah. Bye.